Amen. Hallelujah. We've been doing some series on decreeing. We're going to do some decreeing about our children later on, but the Lord put a message on my heart on children, and it will, even if we don't have children, you don't have children, it applies to all of us because we're children of the Lord, and we're going to be learning some principles about children. Children are a gift of the Lord. Psalms 127:3 says, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. So our children are a gift from the Lord, and they're precious. And, you know, they're precious to the Lord, but they're precious to us as well. And then we're going to go and read some promises for our children in Isaiah 54:3. And then we'll drop down to 13. But Isaiah 54:3 says, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Hallelujah. So our children are promised that they will inherit the nations. And then down to 13, it says, all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. How many can say amen? Great shall be the peace of my children. Amen. And then going on to Isaiah 59:21, another promise, and it said, and this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit will not leave them, neither shall these words I have given you. They will be on your lips and on the lips of your children and your children's children forever. I, the Lord, have spoken. Hallelujah. Then we're going to read another one in Isaiah 44:3-4. And I love this scripture. I just use it all the time in my prayers. I said, for I will pour out water to quench your thirst and to irrigate your parched fields. And I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessings on your children. They will thrive like watered grass, like willows on a riverbed. Pouring out of the Spirit is multi-generational. And I just, it's so important for the Spirit to fall upon children. Hallelujah. And everyone. But I know it's important that your children are in places where the Spirit of God is moving. I know that there was a real revival when I was a little bitty girl, and we would go to all-night prayer meetings and was just always at prayer meetings, and the Spirit was moving, and I was filled with the Spirit at 4 years old, and I would just pray and pray and pray in tongues. I know Bobby and Becky, Bobby was 2, and I think Becky was about 3 when they were filled with the Spirit, and they would sit and just pray in other languages as we were in prayer. And I know children are sensitive to the Spirit of God, and they need to be where the Spirit of God is moving because it's contagious. You know, it gets all over the children too, and they need that relationship. Going on to Acts 2:17, in the last days, God says, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Hallelujah. Other places it says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Amen. That's for me too. All flesh. I'm flesh, Lord. Pour out your Spirit on me. I need your Spirit. Amen. And then we're going to talk about training up children. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Children are the parents have the primary responsibility for their children. But as a church family, we are all responsible to pray for all of the children in the church. We're a church family, and it's our responsibility to carry all of them to the Lord. to teach them. You know, that's why we have classes, for to train them, to teach them, to love them, to encourage them. And the Lord had put it on my heart. Monday morning, I wrote out a paper with all the names of the children that's in the church, even the ones that's not here very much. If they're not going somewhere else, I pray for those children that have been part of the church. And so in our prayer group, we made a name of everybody's children, like from college age down. And we started out praying for them Tuesday, and we only got like less than a third away through the list, because we were taking every child individually and praying for them. I know, Heather, when we was praying for your girls, I don't have it written down, but I know some words of the Lord came forth from them. I need to look it up and tell you what the Lord says, but we prayed for each of them individually. And one of the girls, the Lord, she's going to be an administrator and a director. God is going to use her in administration. And so it's important to find the will of God and pray it out for our children. And all of the children in the church are all of our responsibility to bring before the Lord and hold them up in prayer. Amen? Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." And as parents, we need to love the Lord, just be passionate about God, and passion is contagious. As we are passionate about God, it just spreads to our children. Verse 6, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." You know, we're just in our homes, in our family. We need to talk about the Lord all the time. He needs to be in our consciousness, in our life. And we need to be excited about the things of God and talk about it in front of our children. And then Psalm 78:4 says, "We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders." We need to tell the children about the real God that heals the sick, that loves people, that does great and mighty things, that there's nothing too hard for our God. Nothing, nothing, nothing's impossible for our God. And we need to talk about the miracles that's happened and the mighty things he's done. Hallelujah. Don't hide him from our children. Tell them the good news. Hallelujah. Tell them like it's alive. Let what God's done be alive in your heart, and let it be life going out to, this is who God is. This is what he does. Amen. 2 Corinthians 3, 15 through 17 says, "But even to this day, when Moses," or the law, "is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nonetheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty." It's important to lead children into a relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. It's important to focus on vision and the purpose and plan of God for us. We are the King's kids, reigning with him. And when we talk about the good things of God and the Holy Spirit and a live, living God, that's what our children need to catch hold of. I'm going to talk about some other things in a little bit, but we're going to read Galatians 2, 19 through 21 in the Message. In other words, talk about the good things about God, not all the do-nots. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Talk about the living, breathing, living, wonderful, mighty works of God. Okay, in the Message, "What actually took place is this. I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please God, and it didn't work. So I quit being a law man so that I could be God's man. Christ's life showed me how and enabled me to do it. I identified myself completely with him. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion, and I am no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am not going to go back on that. Is it not clear to you that to go back to that old rule-keeping, peer-pleasing religion would be an abandonment of everything personal and free in my relationship with God? I refuse to do that, to repudiate God's grace. If a living relationship with God could come by rule-keeping, then Christ died unnecessarily. There's something that I have seen happen down through the years, and not all the time, but sometimes it happens. You see young adults find Christ for the first time, their sins are forgiven, they're filled with the Spirit, and they're so enjoying God. God just wiped all my sins away, and they're happy, and they're wonderful. And then the years pass, and they have children, and fear comes in, and they start saying, I don't want my children to make the same mistakes I made. I don't want them to go through what I went through. And so they begin to teach their kids, don't ever do this, don't ever do that, don't ever do this. You have to do this to be pleasing to God. And all of a sudden, they're presenting a legalistic view of God that isn't life-giving. And then sometimes those kids get the impression of God that he's just a mad God up there with a stick that'll bop you if you fail. You know, and it's important. It's so important and vital that children have a relationship with God. If you can lead them into a relationship with God, they will have the conviction of the Holy Spirit within them that will guide them day by day, and they'll know that if they do blow it in something, that they can come running to God, and he's quick to forgive them and take them back into their arms. It's important that, because we live in a real world where there are problems, but they need to know that God loves them and that he's there for them, and they need a New Testament living faith view of God. Hallelujah. Colossians 3:20 through 21, it says, children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. Children are to be obedient and submission to their parents, just like we need to be obedient to God and submission to him. So it is a right thing that they be in submission and obedient to their parents. But then verse 21 says, fathers, do not aggravate your children or they will become discouraged. Never verbally beat up your children. Never say, you're so stupid, or you're never going to amount to anything. I mean, so many parents just berate the children, and it's so harmful to them. It's so harmful. Always build them up. Encourage them. And something in school, it's as natural as it can be for a child to be, say, excellent in math and have a hard time with English. We all are made different, and we should not make children feel incompetent because they're struggling with something. Find their talents. Find what they're good at and begin to build them up and give them free rein with what they're good at. And when they know that I'm good at this, it gives them confidence to conquer the things that are harder for them. I mean, all children need to know some basic math, and they need to know basic English to survive in this world. But if if you find and cultivate what they love and what they're good at, then their confidence is built up where they know that they can, you know, get through the thing that's difficult to them. God made every child an original, and we need to not try to make them a copy. They're originals. Everyone's special. Every person that God created has talents, has hidden treasures within them that need to be discovered. It's so important for children to figure out and learn what they're passionate about. They need to go into a field of work that they enjoy, that's a pleasure to them. So many people never find out their hidden, you know, they never are able to find what they really love. And then to go into that field where they're satisfied and it's pleasing to them, the work they do. So many people, you know, just work at jobs they hate. And God wants, it's so important in children to pray and ask God to reveal to you, to them, what their talents, what their hopes and their goals are. Now we're going to talk about discipline. I've never taught this before, so this was kind of a little bit of a hard one for me. But anyway, 1 Samuel 15:23, the first part of the verse says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." That's pretty heavy. Being in a rebellious state opens the door for demonic activity. And that's in our lives. I mean, we adults can be rebellious to God too. But being in a rebellious state really puts us as open bait for the enemy to come in and work. And it does in children too. Ephesians 4:27 in the Amplified says, "Leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him." And so when we're rebellious or stubborn, it gives the enemy a foothold to come in and work on us. And discipline isn't to break our spirits or our creativeness. Its purpose is to train us to walk in love, obedience, and submission to God. And children need to be in submission to their parents. And so discipline isn't to break their spirits or their creativeness, to break who they are, but to bring, you know, to curb them back from a wrong attitude. Hallelujah. Hebrews 5:8 says, "Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered." John 5:30, the second half of the verse, Jesus said, "I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." Now, we all have a flesh. We're all human. We have flesh. But sometimes there's suffering involved in obedience. Sometimes when God tells us to do something, it's not what we want to do. And to obey him, there's some suffering. And when we are rebellious or stubborn to respond to God, we put ourselves in the enemy camp where he can attack us. And that's suffering. You know, and we have to learn through our Christian life, it's better to be submitted to God, to obey God, to seek him, to follow him, than it is to get out on my own and be beat up by the enemy. And we all want our own way, you know, and it starts when children are real small, and you see it strongest in the two-year-olds. It's like, I'm the central part of my life, and I want my own way. That's real strong. And they have to learn. They have to begin to learn. And it's uncomfortable, you know, to learn that they're not the boss, that they have to submit to their parents. And it's important. We all have to repent when we sin. If we're in sin, if there's outbursts of anger, if we have a bad attitude, we need to repent not only to God, but to the people that were affected by our burst of anger or whatever we did. You know, it's important to make it right. No one has a perfect attitude all the time. Well, maybe who has a perfect attitude all the time? You know, none of us do. You know, we all live in a flesh suit and want our own way. Things frustrate us. But it's really important that bad attitudes and actions be corrected by repentance and refocusing on the Lord. And it's important when children's attitudes are out of line that they're corrected and they're stopped and they're put on the right track again. I'm going to read Hebrews 12, and I'm going to read 5 through 12 in the Message version. It says, "So don't feel sorry for yourselves, or have you forgotten how good parents treat children and that God regards you as his children? My dear child, don't shrug off God's discipline, but don't be crushed by it either. It's the child he loves that he disciplines. The child he embraces, he also corrects. God is educating you. That's why you must never drop out. He's treating you as dear children. The trouble you're in isn't punishment, it's training. The normal experience of children. Only irresponsible parents leave children to fend for themselves. Would you prefer an irresponsible God? We respect our own parents for training and not spoiling us, so why not embrace God's training so we can truly live? Verse 10, while we were children, our parents did what seemed best to them, but God is doing what is best for us, training us to live God's holy best. At the time, discipline isn't much fun. It always feels like it's going against the grain. Later, of course, it pays off handsomely, for it's the well-trained who find themselves mature in their relationship with God. And God often trains us as adults. I mean, have you ever gotten in the wrong attitude or disobeyed the Lord? You just feel so heavy and so bad. You're just like, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, and you know, that I didn't obey you. I'm sorry for the bad attitude I have. And you know, it's just like when God gets after us as adults, I always say, that hurt good. You know, it's just while discipline and God correcting us hurts our flesh, it feels good at the same time because it sets us on the right track. It makes everything right. And so it hurts good. Proverbs 13:24 says, a refusal to correct is a refusal to love. Love your children by disciplining them. I mean, if you just let your kids go wild and do whatever, you would really be signing for their destruction. So you have to train children. Listen to God on how to correct your children in each circumstance. Sometimes every child is different, and sometimes, you know, you can just sit down and talk to a child and it'll break their heart and they'll say, sorry, you know, or sometimes giving them time out, get some time to calm down and think about what they've done. Open defiance and rebellion often need physical discipline. And the purpose of correction so that they will recognize what they were doing wrong and come to a place of repentance, a change of heart. Proverbs 23:13-14 in the Message says, don't be afraid to correct your young ones. A spanking won't kill them. A good spanking, in fact, might save them from something worse than death. It's important to put a stop on bad attitudes quickly. You know, if our children are just in bad attitude, you need to corral them back, talk to them, love them, you know, correct them. If we let bad attitudes run rampant in our children, pretty soon we're in a bad attitude and we're angry and we're frustrated. And, you know, we just, and discipline should never, 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 never be done in anger. Never should discipline or correction be done in anger. You should always take time to relax, to pray about it, to calm down, where you can, in peace, talk to that child in love, in peace. And so it's just like, and listen to the Lord. You know, just children should never be a punching bag. Never. You know, it needs to be purposely redirecting their steps. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In any kind of correction where there's been wrong done, I think it would be good to lead the child in repentance, asking God forgiveness, and knowing, explaining to him that he forgives and it's okay. And it says he forgets our sins. He washes them away. He doesn't even remember them. When the correction is done, it's over with and it needs to be forgotten. Not only by God forgets, but we need to do too. We need to it's over. It's over. We're starting. Everything's fresh and new. Amen. It's important to bless our children with words and examples of faith. Psalms 34:12-13 says, who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Never lie to your children. Never be dishonest. Be transparent. You know, they need to know. If you treat your children wrong, you need to apologize to them and tell them, I'm wrong. I was wrong. You know, just they need to know you're real, you're transparent, and that you understand what it's like to do something wrong or to fail. But be honest and upfront with your children. And watch what you say and what you do. In your home, if you gossip about people, if you complain about people, that's teaching the child that it's okay to do that. Our words, as a Christian, our words need to be full of blessing and not cursing. You know, they need to be edifying words. Hallelujah. I think this lesson's as much for us adults as it is about our children, because we're God's children and he just loves us. 1 Peter 3:10-11. If you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. Hallelujah. We're to live in peace and work. You know, sometimes keeping a peaceful atmosphere, keeping peace in our heart is work. We have to fight off the negative things that try to come in, keeping peace in our home. You know, the atmosphere of our home is up to us. If there's contention in the home, we need to stop and take authority over it in Jesus' name. Just command that contention, command that frustration to leave. It's not welcome here. We're going to live in peace in this house. And a lot of this is spiritual battles, and we need to be alert and aware, and we have authority over the atmosphere in our town. And even in our places of work, we can quietly take authority if there's a wrong spirit there. We can just back off, talk to God, rebuke that spirit, whatever it is, and just ask God's peace to reign in that area where we are. Hallelujah. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those that love it will eat of its fruit. So we need to always speak life about our child. Deuteronomy 30:19 through 20 says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. When we choose life and choose God's presence and God's spirit, we're also choosing it for our children. Verse 20, the second part says, that you may love the Lord your God and you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days. The best thing that you can do for your children is just fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with his word. Be passionate about God, because passion is contagious. It'll get off on your children too. You need to pray for your children. Philippians 4:6-8 in the message, it says, don't fret or worry. That's kind of funny to me, because I think women may be worse than men, but don't fret or worry about anything. And you're just like, duh, that's our job. You know, we tend to fret and worry over things more often, but this isn't a suggestion, it's a commandment. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. So when you see things that's troubling in your children, just take it to God. Don't worry, pray. And in verse 7, before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. I love that. That's good. It's wonderful what happens when Christ, or the anointing, displaces worry at the center of your life. Verse 8, summing it all up, friends, I'd say you do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. So that's a scripture we need to have on our bathroom mirror, on our refrigerator. We need to have it all over the place, because we, you know, it's just like we have to train our thoughts, hallelujah, to think right. Here's some scriptures, promises when children stray. Isaiah 43:5 says, fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. Speak to them. Speak to the north. Hallelujah. It says, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar. Hallelujah. They may not be far physically, but they may be far spiritually. And you can say, you don't keep them, bring them back from afar. Isaiah 49:25, the second half I'm going to read. For I will contend with him who contends with you, which is Satan. You know, Satan's always contending with us. And God says, I will contend with him who contends with you, and I will save your children. Proverbs 11:21 says, though they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished. But the posterity, or the seed of the child of the righteous, will be delivered. Hallelujah. We are redeemed. You know, we're redeemed. We're the righteous. We've been made righteous in Christ Jesus. And it says the seed, or the children of the righteous, will be delivered. Psalms 112:1-3 says, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. That's another, in awe of the Lord, worships the Lord. Another word for that fear is worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Who delight greatly in his commandments or his word. And we love to worship the Lord. We love his word. And so this promise is ours. It says his descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Hallelujah. So we can say, my descendants will be mighty on earth. Hallelujah. The generation of the upright will be blessed. And wealth and riches will be in their house. Hallelujah. You were given a little paper of decrees. We're going to do these decrees together. I'll read the scriptures first, and then we'll do the decrees together. Promises for children. This is founded on Job 22:28, says, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. The word decree is a legal term that you can decree God's purpose and plan, even if you're not fully experiencing it yet. You can decree it because it's the promise of the Lord. It's like a law being put into motion, you know, put into action. You know, not everybody may be about obeying it right now, but it's the law. And when God says something, it's the law, and we can decree it whether we're experiencing or not, because it's the promise of God. And another thing in the Hebrew, the word decree means to cut off anything that's against the blessing. So when you decree that my children are blessed, you're cutting off everything that comes against that blessing. And cutting off everything that's against God's purpose and his plan and his promise for those children. We've read some of these. I'll just read them again real quick. Acts 2:17, in the last days, God says, I will pour my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Isaiah 44:3-4, I will pour out water to quench your thirst and to irrigate your parched fields. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your children. They will thrive like watered grass, like willows on a riverbank. Have you noticed, like the San Pedro River, when you go over the mountain, you can see where the water is. There's all the beautiful green trees, and that's the way our children are going to be. That's the way they are. Hallelujah. Amen. Isaiah 59:21, and this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit will not leave them, and neither will these words I have given you. They will be on your lips and on the lips of your children and your children's children forever. I, the Lord, have spoken. And then Psalms 112:1-3, we just read it, but it's so good. We'll just read it again. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Okay, we're going to say these decrees together. I decree, the Spirit of the Lord is being poured out on my children. They listen to the voice of the Spirit and are obedient. They prophesy and see visions from God. My children are following God's plan and purpose for their life. They are like the sons of Issachar and have understanding of times they are living in and know their position and purpose within these times. They take pleasure in God's word and meditate on it continually. They walk in integrity and love. They have favor with God and man. They are blessed with good health, with prosperity, and good friends. They are blessed to be a blessing. They are leaders and trendsetters changing the culture for God's glory. Amen. Yes, amen. Praise God for the promises of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Does anybody have any testimonies? Okay, good.
Last Sunday during kids' class, I had my lesson prepared, and I had the video message that we were going to show prepared, and as soon as I walked up there with the kids, I just felt so strongly like we just needed to pray, like we just needed to spend some time in prayer, and the kids needed to just kind of exercise that and just spend some time with their peers where they can kind of get comfortable praying. And for about 5 minutes or so, I kind of argued with God about that. Because we have a set lesson, and I had a video even, and, you know, I had a little craft afterwards, and I was like, well, I don't know if they have the attention span to sit down for that long and just pray, and, well, I don't know if the, and, you know, just going through my mind, like, should we do it? Should we not do it? Are they not going to want to come back again if we do it? Like, are they just going to be bored, and it's not going to affect them whatsoever, and they're just going to be sitting there like, okay, where's the fun stuff? And so I battled with that for a couple of minutes, and of course I decided, you know, okay, well, let's try this. Let's do it. And so, you know, I asked the kids how they were doing. We had a little bit of conversation, and so I let them know. I said, you know, I really feel like God's telling me we need to spend some time praying, just talking to God, just talking to him. And Sophia said, like, just talking, like talking. And I thought that was hilarious. And I was like, yeah, just talking to God, just having a conversation with him, like how me and you are talking. Let's talk to God that way. He wants to talk to us. And so I had them all get in a circle with their chairs. So they made a little circle, you know, and I put some piano music on, some piano worship music on. And I said, okay, let's just get comfy and let's just talk to God and let's just spend some time praying. And it took everything within me not to just burst out in tears like the ugly cry, because all of them closed their eyes super tight and they sat there nice and still and they really, really just wanted to talk to God. And just to see the excitement got me really excited. And so I was like, yeah, let's do this. Let's do it. And, you know, I knew that, you know, during praise and worship and other times they've heard us praying in tongues and that kind of thing. And, but I just kind of wanted to brief them a little bit. That way someone doesn't burst out in giggles and ruins the whole thing. So, you know, I told them, I said, you know, we can pray in tongues. And I asked, you know, has anybody ever prayed in tongues? And no, and nobody kind of really wanted to be prayed over for that. So I was like, okay, that's fine. You know, I'm going to go ahead and pray in tongues. And I explained what it was, you know, and that kind of thing. They're like, oh, okay. And so they kept their eyes closed really tight. And we had the music going. And I just began praying, walking around them in a circle as they sat in their chairs. And God put specific things for me to pray for each of those kids. And they sat there. Some of them, I mean, they had clenched fists when we began. And same thing, I took everything within me not to start crying in amazement, because some of them started opening their hands to receive. They were receiving something from the Lord. And it's just amazing, amazing to see how God's presence, I mean, of course, his presence is always with us and we carry it, but the way his spirit just kind of swooped in, I mean, it felt like if you were to hear a big eagle's wings, like just swoop into the room. And that's just what it felt like. And the kids received, and afterwards, you know, I asked them, I said, do you guys have anything you want to pray about? What do you want to pray about? And all of them raised their hand and they all had something to pray about. And you know, I kind of spoke to them a little bit about what the lesson was about that day, because it was about having a happy heart, because Jesus lives inside of our hearts, so we should have a happy heart. And after I kind of talked about the lesson, everybody wanted to pray that mommy and daddy and brother and sister, and that everybody had a happy heart. And so it was just wonderful, a wonderful experience. And then some of the kids, it amazed me, but they wanted to pray. they had specific things that God put on their heart. And they asked, can we pray for the kids in Africa who don't get any food? And I said, yeah, let's pray about that. And everyone got really excited. And Marcus said, oh, well, we can pray for the kids in Asia too. There's kids in Asia who don't have any food either, you know. I said, oh, that's right. You're so right. We can pray about the kids in Asia too. And they had so much to pray about, and it just amazes me. And I just want to, you know, encourage you guys as parents that prayer doesn't have to be a thing you do by yourself locked away in your closet. Yes, that's amazing and that's good to have, but praying as a family or praying with your kids is a completely different, wild experience that just takes it to a whole nother level. And I felt so blessed after class on Sunday to have been able to pray with the kids and to lead them and to guide them in prayer and to see that they left with their hearts happy. They were very content, and it was just kind of like a peace over them. And, you know, we finished up and then we sat down and we collared, and everyone was just very, just very content. And God's presence was just very tangible. So that was just an awesome, awesome kids class we had on Sunday.
Amazing. Wow. Wow, that's awesome testimony. Thank you, Jasmine. Hallelujah. God's pouring out his spirit on all flesh. We thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit being poured out upon our children from the nursery to the little children's class to the youth. Lord, we thank you that the pouring out of your spirit is multi-generational. Oh, you just love us all and want to pour your spirit out upon all of us. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that our spirits will be awake and alert, listening to you, listening to your voice, and listening to your word. Father, Kai Oashe Alaba Hione Atai. Lord, I ask you for an anointing as a church body that we diligently pray in the spirit for each of the children in this church body. Father, that we will help pray out your future for them, your purpose, your plans for them. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Father. Oh, Lakaya Shay Tinabo Patiniai. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord, for your purposes and your plans that you have for each of our children. Thank you, Jesus, for your will being done in their lives. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. I know that we're going to continue with prayer in our prayer team, praying for the children and cover all of the children. As we were praying, Tuesday is the day we started in prayer for our children, and just so many words came out. We would just take a child going around in a circle with everybody who was there, take a child and pray, and just some so special things. And I know one of Maricela's sons, Becky, was praying for him, and she says he's going to break out of the mold, and he's destined to be somebody important, like a doctor or a lawyer or something. And she began to pray for his direction and for him to have the finances he needs and the help he needs to be able to get where God wants him to go. You know, and God knows those things that we don't see. He knows. And praying prepares the path for that child to go in the direction and calling that God would have them to go in. Our children are to be leaders and trendsetters, and we need to pray out their future. Every time God gives us an assignment in Mexico or something else to do, we have prayed it out before we start. We have prayed it out ahead of time. We've already paved the way in prayer before we actually go and set our feet on that in that place that God had told us to go in. And it's so vital for us to listen to the Spirit of the Lord, pray in the Spirit for our children, spend time praying for them. And that's a calling as a church body. You know, parents need to pray for their own children, but and we need to pray for our grandchildren. But we need to pray for the church children and help pave the way for them to get where God wants them to go. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a privilege and it's a blessing. Hallelujah. To open the door in prayer and unlock the future that God has for those children in prayer. Amen. Well, God bless you, and we'll see you Sunday for Easter Sunday. I know we're going to have, I think we're still having a dance, aren't we, Lucy? Are we going to do a dance? We're not going to do the dance, but we are going to have an Easter drama and a wonderful service, and then we're having a picnic at our house, so it's going to be a pot blessed at our house. It's going to be a fun, awesome